First John, the fourth chapter. And I thought about that song as they sung a while ago. We sung, Love Lifted Me. That's what the message is all about tonight. The wonder of wonders. The wonder of wonders. They say there are seven wonders in the world. And I don't know how majestic those wonders are. Some of them are sights to behold, but the wonder of wonder that I know is one like the songwriter wrote, and that is the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loved me. I mean, I the more I study God's word and the more I see his work and his action in lives of mankind, it just blows my mind to think about how an almighty Heavenly Father could love someone like me. I mean, if you look at even the Sunday school lesson this morning, and God's punishing His children because of their disobedience. And I know as we looked at that lesson, America needs to wake up, because I believe that because of our willful rebellion against God and His Word, that the judgment is going to fall on America as well if we don't straighten up and repent and turn back to Him. But you know what the thing about it is how in the world, how can we describe the love of God? See, the love of God possesses the qualities that makes it the wonder of all wonders. And when we think about His love, and there's absolutely no way to even go about to try to define it, and there's hardly any way that we can describe it except of what's transpired in our life and what we read out of God's Word as we think about the love of God. We sing about it and we talk about it, but the very thought of God's love just blows my mind. John, in his writing in the epistle, he helped us to understand some of the things about God's love, the descriptive elements of God's love. And when we think about these descriptive elements, there are some things that maybe we need to look at in our own life because of this. The wonder of wonders is how much God loves us, how much He cares for us. When we think about the whole scope of God's love, I'm talking about the overall scope of God's love, the thing that really speaks to my heart and helps me to understand the greatness of our God is it an unconditional love. When you think about love and it being unconditional, how God could love us, we brought that out in Sunday school class, how that God loves us unconditional. But you stand with me for the reading of God's Word and remain standing for prayer. In 1 John 4, starting in verse 10, reading through the remainder of the chapter, verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." That term "ought" means duty bound, if you please. "We ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us," or made perfect in us. "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath," past action with future results, "hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believe that the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." There's that correlation again. Then it says in verse 17, "Here is our love. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He, what? First loved us. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Turn back to John 13, 34 and 35, and that is the commandment Jesus Himself gave, and you probably know it by heart, but as we look at it, it says this. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you tonight to first of all give you thanks for this opportunity and privilege to come and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We realize that you said in your word, as you met with the woman at the well, they that worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth. And we come to you tonight, Lord, realizing that in and through you we can come to know and to understand and to grasp all truth, the truth of your word, as you reveal it to us through the power of your spirit, as you make it known unto us. And Father, I pray tonight that you'll open our ears and our eyes to the truth of your word. You will illumine our hearts that we may understand the truth of it. And God, because of that, we will leave this place and we will go into this world at which we live and share and relate the love of Jesus Christ to them. Father, tonight I just thank you for all that you have made possible. Your great love wherein you loved us. And Lord, for the gift that you made of salvation to those who put their faith and trust in you. And the ramifications of that throughout life, God, is overwhelming. And Lord, tonight I just thank you and praise you for what you have done, but what you're going to do as we look to you, as we trust you, as we turn to you. And Lord, if there's ever been a time in our nation where a nation needs to turn back to you, it is now. And God, I pray that you will send a great spiritual awakening and revival in our country and our nation. And Lord, we realize it must begin within the confines of the church, within the walls of the church. I believe, God, that you have ordained that, and you would honor that if we would only look to you and depend upon you. I pray, Lord, that it may begin here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Father, tonight as we come to you, we come recognizing our need and dependence. We come trusting you, Lord, because we owe everything to you, and you're all in all. And God, as the word says, you're the one that is and was and yet is to come. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last, and everything in between. And Father, I pray once again that you, through your love and mercy for us, Lord, that once again you will anoint these lips with, that I may speak the truth of your word. I pray, God, that you'd help us to relate the truth of it. And God, tonight we may be drawn closer to each other and closer to you. Father, do that which only you can. And Lord, tonight as we come before your throne, we remember those that are less fortunate, those that have been added to our prayer list, those that's already there. God, would you work in the circumstances of their life? You know each one. You know them personally, Lord. You know them, and Lord, you know what's best for them. And God, we just pray that you would work and do that which only you can. Even now, Lord, as an act of faith, as we covenant together, we pray that your will would be accomplished in their lives. Help us all to look to you for guidance and direction, for wisdom and understanding of what you'd have us to be about as your children. We ask it in Jesus' strong and powerful and saving name, and for his glory alone. Amen. As we look at the passage of Scripture, John in his epistle, he talks about love. He demonstrates or tries to make known the aspect of the Father's love. And you know that some people talk about love from a standpoint that it is a condition, and it follows up with things in our life as we have feelings, that that's what makes us have love. But according to what God's Word tells us, it has nothing to do with feelings. It has all to do with faith, as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in the person of Him. Because let me share something very, very, very real, because a person cannot, listen to me very closely, a person cannot know love until they know Jesus Christ. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they try to say. You cannot know real love, genuine love, until you know Jesus Christ, because He is the very expression of love. He is the very epitome of God's love. That is why Jesus came, is to demonstrate to fallen mankind how much God loved them. And as we see, when Jesus came on the scene, He came with a motive of love in His heart and His life to make known the Father, the Blessed Father, so that we could respond to Him, and so that we could be drawn to Him, so we could know, if you please, the very heart and the mind of Almighty God. When Jesus worked His work He did, and He done the things that He did, He was drawing people to Himself, but He was drawing them unto God, because in and through what He went through and what He accomplished, we see that He made possible the very love of God. So there's a thing we must recognize first and foremost, that you cannot ever know what love is until you know Jesus Christ. The first thing, as I brought up on the outline, is that the love of God is a certain love. In 10 and 11 there, He talks about, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. The greatest proof for the certainty of God's love for all men is what you see at the cross, where Jesus became and He paid our sin debt. And that's what the term propitiation means there. It was paid for us. He made possible for us to know that our sin debt has been paid. So the thing that we need to recognize is the one who bestowed this and who made it possible for us, He is the one who made possible for every man, woman, boy, and girl to come into that unique, and I say it's unique because it is, a unique love relationship with Almighty God. Judaism never taught anything like that. Judaism had this kind of standoff God, where they looked at Him from a standpoint of not ever coming in contact with Him, but hoping in their life that they lived so that they would be pleasing unto Him, so that they would do the things that warranted His favor. But let me tell you something. Jesus come to make God personal in each and every person's life, and that's what it's all about, where God loved us and how He loved us. See, the cross is a loving Father's provision for lost humanity, for lost mankind. That's God's provision for us so that we could know the very love. The facts are in, folks, and it is that God sent His own Son to be, as He said there, the propitiation for our sins, and this makes the certainty of God's love unquestionable, even unforgettable, because of what Jesus made possible for you and I at the cross, where He demonstrated, if you please, He demonstrated the love that God has for us, where He was willing to sacrifice His Son for you and for me. That blows my mind, how that God could send His Son, the one who was perfect, the one who never sinned, to take my place on a cruel cross, where He took my death, He died my death, and He gave to me His life. I sometimes it just blows my mind to even think about it. But see, that's how much God loved us. And at the cross we see the very essence of God's love for humankind. So the love of God is a certain love. It is something that you can nail down. It is real, because as we see in the person of Jesus Christ, He made it known for fallen mankind. But there's also the second thing. The love of God is a continuous love. is a continuous love, because see, it is a constant love. It is, has no ending. It has no beginning, because of the very heart of God and who God is. His love is that which radiates from Him, and because of that, He wants what is best for mankind, as those who trust Him and learn to trust Him and to walk in His will and His way. So it is a continuous love, and the reason that is it is a continuous love is what we left out there in the first one, because by its nature it is eternal. It is eternal. That means it is everlasting. There's no place to start. There's no place to end. So it's eternal by nature. Why is it eternal by nature? Because, see, the one who bestowed it, He Himself is eternal. And the Bible tells us right here, says, herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us. So the very essence of who God is, the very character of who God is, for mankind to know and to understand and to realize, is to come to know the love of God. I was talking to a man just a couple of weeks ago. I relayed this morning Sunday school class, and he said to me, well, if God is so good and God loves the way you say He does, then He's not going to send anybody to hell. And I said, no, sir, He is not going to send anybody to hell. That is not God's design. That is not God's motive. Hell was not created for man to begin with. It's created for Satan and his angels. But let me tell you something. When you do not accept God's gift of salvation, you're saying to God, blatantly in His face, that I don't want your gift of salvation. And that's what makes it a reality in so many people's lives. See, they come to the point in their life that they do not understand what it means to respond to Jesus Christ, what it means to invite Him into the confines of our life, because they think that they're one of them good old boys. You know, God's going to take care of the good old boys. I don't care how good you are. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you try to do. Let me tell you something. If it's not followed by the will and the purpose of God, and we do not go according to God's standards, not my standards, but according to God's standards about salvation, you'll never make it to heaven. Never make it. So we see that God's love is continuous love. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, Jeremiah restated this, even though he was a prophet, to those who were going through difficult and trying times, spoke of their doom and their demise because of their disobedience. This morning in the Sunday school lesson, we see that was translated in the lesson this morning, because God has had worked with them and sent prophets to them, sent those to tell them the message of God's love for them and His care for them, and because they had broken God's covenant, because they had moved into worship of idols and other things. We see that God here moved into circumstances there because, see, what God wanted for them is He wanted them to understand. That's what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. When you get down and out, you need to mark that scripture down in your Bible and put it down on something and remember it. When you get down and out and everything seems to be going in the wrong direction, when you seem to be going in the wrong direction too along with it, remember that God's love is an everlasting love. His love for you. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. No beginning, no end. Therefore, God's love continues, not just up to a point where we get into trouble, but God's love carries us into that trouble and through that trouble, if you please, because He's there with us to help us and to show us and to make known that He really cares about our situation. Have you ever felt that you have been neglected? That God has forgot about you? Have you ever come to the point in your life where when you prayed you felt like it didn't get much higher than your head? But we need to realize that God's love for us is that love which is so overwhelming because of what He wants to work in our life. And sometimes I found in my life when I get like that, I just need to look at the Word and read the Word. I'm reminded of that scripture in Romans 8:26. It says, "Where the Spirit makes intercessions with groanings that we cannot even utter. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God, in the time that we don't know how to pray. There have been many times in my life where I did not know what to pray and how to pray. I've been by bedsides of those in the hospital and at home where I did not know how to pray or what to pray. And I'm satisfied you have too. But thank God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, He pleads for us the right thing, the things that we need to understand, the things that we sometimes need to recognize that God is working in and through to demonstrate His love. Do we ever want God to just answer our prayer and thus us never to learn a lesson of what it means to be obedient to Him? I think not. I think not, because seeing as His children, we must recognize and understand that as we interact with God through the person of Jesus in prayer, and as we turn to Him in prayer and look to Him, as we recognize our dependence on God, God recognizes us as His children that needs help. Do you feel like you ever needed help? Brother, if you ain't just cheer up, it's coming around the corner somewhere, sometime another. Where the only thing that you can count on is the very love of God. The only thing that you can really, really come to grips with is the love of God and how much He cares for you and how much He'll see you through those things if we'll only put our faith and trust in Him. Yes, it is a continuous love, a continuous love. Many say that during trials, well, the Lord don't love me anymore. He don't care about me anymore. The things going on in my life, it's just tearing me apart, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to turn. God has not forsaken you. God has never and never will. That's what Jesus said. He says, I will never forsake thee. I will never leave thee. And you can rest assured of that. Because see what He wants, what He wants more than anything else is in and through the problems of life that you and I come in contact with and we face. He wants the demonstration of His love to work in and through our lives, even that situation. That situation. Because see, then He can be glorified. He can be lifted up. He can be magnified. Because that causes the one who is the recipient of what God is doing, it makes them recognize that God is there and He's always able to do what over and abundantly even thing that we ever think or ask. What Scripture says is not. God's love is a continuous love. Third thing, God's love is a changeless love. Boy, I love that. Changeless love. What does it mean, changeless love? When you think about the love of God being a changeless love, what is it saying there? That means that God is the same as He was, same as He always has been, and same as He will be because of His very character and His nature. As we talked about a while ago, His nature being that nature that's eternal, that nature that is holy and righteous and pure. Because, see, His very nature is the same. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we think about the person of Jesus Christ, as He made known, if you please, if I can kind of make this something we can understand, where Jesus Christ came to personify or to live the very love of Jesus Christ, it says there that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the Scripture tells us that God is the same. He never changes. When we understand the changelessness of God, we can recognize that many times in our life, when we're going through those things, we're not the first to go there. We're not the first that's been there through those circumstances. God knows. God has a way and a remedy for all of us if we'll trust Him. So we see that God's love is a changeless love. Thus, God's love never changes in its quality and its quantity for a man regardless of man's response. Why? Why? See, real love, according to what John teaches in this book, real love is born out of the heart of God. Born out of the heart of God for those, listen to me, it's born out of the heart of God for all those who will receive it. Receive it. Young people, when they court and they think they're in love, they don't even know what love is all about. Did you know that? They don't know what love is all about. Many of them don't. And they go into that relationship and they think that L-U-S-T spells love. But they'll wake up one day and realize that it don't spell like that. Love does not spell L-U-S-T. But the thing about love and the real love that the Bible speaks of, the love that Paul spoke of there in Romans, I mean, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and he gives those nine active verbs to describe it. He wants us to recognize that in the person of Jesus Christ, that we can comprehend the greatness of God's love. Even though he's changeless, his love never changes. God never changes in his love for us, even if we refuse to love him in return. Did you know that? That's what blows my mind. How that God could still love us, just like it was with the children of Israel and Judah this morning. God loved them, demonstrated his love, even when they did not reciprocate that love back to God. That's what Paul said, is it not? Turn to Romans just a moment. We was talking about Romans a while ago. Turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, just a moment. There in Romans 8, Paul says something very significant and very important for us. Romans 8. Romans 8, 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Question mark. It's a good question, isn't it? Who has the power to separate us from the love of Christ? We've already come to the agreement that the love of God is seen through the person of Jesus Christ. That's what he came to demonstrate God's love, to make it known. Then she asks that question. She says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Question mark. As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are conquerors. What does it say? More than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. Look what he says in verse 38. For I am persuaded, I am totally, irreversibly convinced, irrevocably convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. What's left out? Any of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in who? Christ Jesus our Lord. You want to know the love of God? The only way you can know it is through Christ Jesus. And there's nothing. When you come to know him and you come to respond to him with your life and you invite him into the confines of your heart, you come to know the very love of God. The very heart love of God is born into our life. And because of that, let me tell you something. There's nothing that can take that away. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I don't care where you go or what you try to do. You cannot be separated from the love of God. I heard a story about a man that they had witnessed to him on the job, and he just done everything he could to get away from trying to hear what they said. And then when he went somewhere else, somebody else witnessed to him, and he just, everywhere he went, it seemed like somebody was trying to witness to him and tell him about Jesus. So he was one of those that liked to die, brother. I mean, you might want to find one of these bottles when you get out of there looking for them scallops they're going to go die for. But he loved to dive, and he went deep sea diving, and he found this bottle that was submerged. And boy, he thought he had him a treasure, and he got up to the top of the water, and he opened it up, pulled it out, and it said, Jesus loves you. He thought he was going to get away from the message by going up. But let me tell you something. There's nowhere, as David said, there's nowhere you can go. There's nowhere you can run. There's nowhere you can hide to isolate yourself from the love of God. I don't care what you do or what you've done. You cannot run far enough and long enough to isolate yourself from the love of God. That's what the Bible says, not what Marshall Dixon says, but the Bible says that. So we see that is a changeless love. But the thing about it is, we need to realize that this love that God has demonstrated, it is also a condemning love. According to John 3:18, the Bible says that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through them might be saved, saved. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The condemnation, the very wrath of God abides on those who do not and will not respond to God. So when we think about God's love can also condemn us because we will not respond to it, just like it was with the children of Israel and Judah this morning. God's love condemned them to be banished, it says, out of his sight, away from his providence, away from his blessings. It's what the terminology means there. Because, see, they had willfully rejected God's love and what God wanted in their life. They had trusted in those idols and worshiped those idols instead of trusting the covenant God that made the covenant with them. Folks, let me tell you something. We don't take serious enough this commitment we make to God. See, because in this, as we think about this condemning love, why? Because, see, God went to the greatest extreme that he could to prove and demonstrate his love for mankind. And let me tell you something, when God went to that extreme, we must not reject it, we must recognize it, we must not refuse it, we must learn to trust in what God has for us. See, I also believe in the life of a believer, it is or it should be a condemning love in the term of how we respond, how we trust him. Because if we do not trust him the way we should, that means our sins will condemn us. Our sins, if we do not trust him and relinquish the right of our life to him and trust him for forgiveness in our life. I believe that's what John said in his epistle. Brother Ivy brought that out this morning. And you know, in David's life, we see that he come to know and understand what God's love was. That's why he could turn back to God, because he knew of God's love. But Paul states something else. The love of Christ also constrains us. Constrains us. Turn there just a moment. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. Paul talked about this constraining love. The terminology that he used there. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 14, it says this. He says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we judge that if one died for a double L, then were a double L dead." Verse 15, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ," he's a what? A new creature, a new creation. "Old things are passed away, and behold, some of the things have become new." All things have become new. The love that constrains us, the term there means to urge or compel us. It means really to just drive us, if you please. It means to be driven here, and it actually means to be fully or totally be motivated, if you please, by that kind of love. And that's what, if you look at Paul's life, is that not what his whole life was about? Was demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ? Making known to the world around him the love of Jesus Christ. I just read something this week. We talk about the walk, then they walk back in that day. You know, in Acts 14 and 15, in those two chapters on it, Paul's second missionary journey, he traveled over 3,000 miles, and over 2,000 of those was on foot. You talk about, we get tired walking from out y'all to the parking lot in here to church. You just think about what Paul walked and how he walked, not for his own good, but to carry the gospel, to show and demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ to those in the world. Folks, should that not encourage us and help us to recognize that we have a message to relate, and that is that we are compelled, if you please. This love compels us, drives us, motivates us, if you please. Do you feel and know his love constraining you? Do you feel it? This is my observation. Marshall Dixon, you can take it for what you want as a grain of salt or whatever. A constraining love, then, is also a containing love. When I say containing love, I want to explain that. If this, his love, constrains us or drives us or motivates us, then it must contain us to the point that it moves us into action for God. Amen? Moves us, motivates us into action for God. The question of question is then, do you know this kind of love through Christ? Do you know this kind of love through Christ? Closing, when we think about what Jesus said as we read that 11th commandment a while ago, and this is a new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another, not according to what the dictates of the law said, not according to neighbor as yourself, but he says, love them as I have loved you. Folks, there's a vast difference between those. The law demanded or commanded them to love. Here Jesus said, I constrain you to love. And that's why he said there, he used that term, we ought to love one another. That means we're duty bound. Why? Why are we duty bound to love our brothers? I'll tell you why. It's because if Jesus lives in our life, he does not pick out those he wants to love. Listen to me. It's easy for us to like some people, but it's some people, it's really hard to like. You know, you ever run into some of them kind? And let me tell you something. I've come to realize in my life in the ministry, there are some people that is hard to love. Hard to love. I mean, they'll up one side and down the other of you, stomp you down this side and mash you down the other, whatever. And I've seen those kind, and I come to realize early in my ministry, the Lord really, really impressed this in my life. He said, Marshall, you can't love them. He says, if you try to love them, it will kill you, and I believe it would have. But what he said to me, as he related this to me, and I thought about this many, many times, he says, I want you to allow me to love them through you. Be open to my love to flow to them. And you know what? That'll change your whole life perspective. That'll change how you see people, how you respond to people. And I believe that's exactly what Paul is saying here. The love of Christ constraineth us, moves us, motivates us to do all that God would have us to do. I asked them to put a song on the board. We're going to sing it, if we can. It's found in the Baptist hymnal. You want to turn there, 567. I ask you to sing with me on the chorus. It says, the love of God is broader than earth's vast expanse. 'Tis deeper and wider than the sea. Love reaches out to all to bring abundant life. For God so loved the world, his only Son he gave. Sing it with me. Share his love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share his love by sharing of your faith. And show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you every moment. Every day, all those who have trusted in God's only Son and hold this precious treasure in their heart, seek ways to make it known to all who need to know. For God so loved the world, his only Son he gave. And then the last verse is, we show the love of God each day we live. Reveal Christ's presence in our life and how the Holy Spirit guides us day by day. For God so loved the world, his only Son he gave. Sing it with me. Share his love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share his love by sharing of your faith. And show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you every moment, every day. Boy, does that speak to us? Let's pray together. Father, because you loved us, Not that we loved you, but you loved us, Father, and made known your love to us through Jesus Christ. You have called us and you have commissioned us to share your love, to show your love. And Lord, it must constrain us. It must contain us. It must motivate us. It must take control of our beings so that others can know of his love working in and through our life. God, I pray tonight that we will view people as we see them differently than ever before. We will see them as those that you loved enough to go to the cross and die for them. Makes no difference what they've done to us. Makes no difference what they've said about us. Makes no difference their dress or their motor, whatever it may be. Lord, help us to see them as those who need to know Jesus Christ. Help us, oh God, to share your love with them. Father, you know each of our hearts tonight. You know more about us than we know about ourselves, Lord. And we pray, oh God, as you've spoken to our hearts tonight, that we will respond. If there's one that has never trusted you as Lord and Savior, they've never known what it means to know the love of God. They can know that tonight before they leave this place. I pray, God, that you will help them to realize and help them to respond to you as only they need to tonight. Do that which only you can, Lord. You might be calling us for a recommitment of our life, to make your love a reality in our life, Lord, that we may show it to a lost and dying and a doomed world. Take us and use us, Lord, for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake and glory. Amen.